Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm privileged to welcome a very, very senior professional from India, Suresh Raina. Suresh, welcome to the show.
Ashutosh, thank you very much for having me here. Really pleased.
Thank you. Suresh is the partner of Hunt Partners India. He's a certified coach. He's an avid runner and he volunteers for non-profit organizations. So Suresh, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
Three milestones. When you have 30 years of professional career and another 20 of the childhood and young adult, it's 50 years we're talking about. So the first one would be when I left Kashmir. I am from Kashmir.
Right.
And Kashmir is a small town, or it was a small town when I left.
Hmm.
I think that was a big one because you come from a small town and you get to a city like Delhi and everything changes. The entire perspective is different. So that was a big one.
Okay.
And the second one was I then decided to go to US. I thought, since I have come to Delhi now, let me take it a couple of notches higher.
Correct.
And went to college in US.
Hmm.
That was another one. And then when I finished college and I started working, the other big milestone was I decided that no, I should not find a job in US. I would rather go back to India and do something there.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was early 90s, if you remember.
Correct.
I finished college in 92.
Mm-hmm.
India's story had just started.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep reading and I got excited. I said, I have to go back.
Fabulous.
That was a big one.
Okay.
And then I tried many things in the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, joining or going back to the corporate world, I joined a British company. I think that was another big milestone, because being an entrepreneur, working with small companies, Indian companies, and then saying that, okay, let me once again go back to the big world.
Mm-hmm.
That was another big decision.
Very, very interesting.
And the fourth one was, after having then spent another, I think, 7 years with this company, I said, this is enough. I need to go and do something different. Came back to India and joined Executive Search.
Okay.
And this was 10 years back.
Amazing. Amazing. So that's a very interesting segue into the next segment of our conversation, which is Hunt Partners. So, Suresh, you have built Hunt Partners into an India's leading search firm. What have been some of your challenges as you built this organization?
It is not just me, it is our team, the partners. Because I joined the firm when it was already, I think, 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old, something like that. And then over the last 10 years, we have built the firm. And very consciously, and it has not been an easy journey. You know, executive search by itself is a niche area. And then... You know, when you are a almost like an Indian firm, because we are an Indian firm, and you're competing with the global, you know, big force of the world, and still trying to carve out your own space, not an easy one. But the biggest challenge to me, I think, is finding the right people.
Right.
Because consulting is a difficult business.
Correct.
And to me, the biggest challenge for us is, how do you find the people who share your vision? Because you can't grow. You can't grow in consulting unless you have the right people. And the second biggest challenge for us is finding or figuring out what is our position.
Okay.
What is the brand Hunt? Where do we stand? Who we are, and also more importantly, who we are not.
Okay.
You can't be everything to everybody. And so that brand, Hunt Partners, is an exercise that has taken some time for us to define. I think we are very much there now. And if you read our tagline, it says leadership for emergent India.
Okay.
That's who we are.
Very interesting.
So that has been another difficult piece for us.
I can imagine. I mean, business in any case is tough. And it is. As you said very rightly, consulting is tougher. So, you know, I remember when I was getting into my early 30s and I started getting calls from, in those days, headhunters.
Yeah.
It was a big thing, you know, for everyone to say, oh, I've got a call, right?
So, yes.
For a lot of young people who are now in middle management in the corporate world, at what stage do I become relevant for Hunt Partners or a search firm? Still my career.
Yeah. Good question. Very good question. Because as I said earlier, executive search is very niche. Okay. Executive search would not handle more than 5% of the total hiring that happens. Mm. It's very small. So we become relevant where the organization is looking for talent, where you need a specialist to make that choice, to make that selection. Because the 95% of the recruiters, they do a good job. I wouldn't say they don't. They do a good job by looking at a CV. And looking at the CV, you can see what the functional skills are and whether it is a fit with the role. And that's what you do. You share the profile with the client.
Sure.
But I guess the search comes in where that document becomes a starting point.
Hmm.
And then you start assessing whether this individual is going to fit with the organization and do justice to the role.
Okay.
I think that's where search comes in.
Okay. Very interesting. So let's move on and let's talk a little bit about, you know, your role as a coach, right? You're a certified coach.
Yes.
Again, when I was growing up and, you know, I'm 64 years old with over 4 decades of work. When I was growing up, coaching was either by a senior colleague who took a liking to you or a senior family member.
Mm-hmm. Today, right. Yes.
It's become very organized with specialists and you pay money for it. So my question to you, Suresh, is why has coaching become so relevant in India and in our part of the world?
It is becoming more and more relevant, as you have rightly said, and I have also noticed the same.
Hmm.
Probably that's the reason why I also noticed and got interested and then stepped into this.
Hmm.
Is that, see, as professionals, when we both have been professionals and the people who will be listening in are also, is that there you, over a period of 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you keep skilling yourself and you keep learning on the job. This is experience.
Right.
And it gets supplemented by the executive education, the training, you know, everything comes in. But what happens is that you are a combination of your personality, your values, your beliefs, your purpose, and what you have acquired over the time, the technical skills,
correct,
the functional skills, or the leadership skills.
Mm.
Now, this entire combination, for it to work very smoothly, you know, without friction, a lot of things have to fall into place. What happens over time is that many of us, we get stuck, and without, you know, becoming aware of this, we get stuck by our own demons, by our own restrictions and walls that we create around ourselves.
Okay.
Which no one knows. People will notice, but if you're a CEO, it's very few people who will be able to tell you that you're doing this wrong. Your board may tell you, but even the board sometimes hesitates. So then who does it for you? And that should be ideally a coach.
Okay.
Or a mentor. You know, someone who can look at you, who can talk to you, who can listen to you, observe, and then give you not advice, because coaches don't give advice. Coaches will question.
Okay.
So and I think there is some bit of a fuzziness here. Coaching and mentoring kind of keeps getting, it's a mix up in many cases I've noticed.
Okay.
But I guess that is the reason why coaching is becoming more and more important and acceptable, where a coach can work with an individual who's, so another, I think, misnomer is that if you are not doing well, you need a coach. Okay. I would also like to debunk that theory. It is, if you're doing well, you need a coach.
Okay.
Coaching will take you to the next level. Mm. It is not that you are a failure, then coaching will get you out of it.
Yeah.
It can, yeah. But it can do wonders if you're already doing well.
Very interesting. Suresh, thank you. That's been a great explanation for coaching. Now, let's talk about your journey with De La Rue in South Asia, Middle East, and North America. I hope I got the pronunciation.
De La Rue, yes. Yeah. It is it's a fascinating company, and I didn't know till I joined this organization what they did. Mm-hmm. De La Rue is the money printer for the world.
Oh, wow. So
De La Rue prints, or it used to when I was there, mm-hmm. almost 200 currencies.
Wow.
And I worked with them for 7 years. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful journey. Mm-hmm. I worked with them in South Asia, then moved to Middle East and North Africa, and then finally moved to US, mm-hmm. North America and Caribbean, when I then quit and came back to India to join Hunt Partners. Mm-hmm. And the fun part in De La Rue was that, except for the North American operations, everything else I had to build.
Okay.
So the India organization or South Asia organization wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So created that from scratch. The Middle East organization wasn't there. Set that up. Mm-hmm. And both things worked. Mm-hmm. Both worked very well. Again, and you know, the first question was, what was the challenge for Hunt Partners, mm-hmm. finding the right people? It was again the same thing. You know, find the right team, get them onto the shared objective, and off they go. That's what we did. I guess timing also happened, because we deal with cash and processing. So this was the era of clean note policy. If you remember 15 years back, the quality of notes in India, or for that matter for many countries, was very, very, very poor. So we came in to that space. Okay. How do you improve the quality? So these were very heavy technology solutions. Mm-hmm. Apart from printing, it was processing. Mm-hmm. So all of that, it was just a great opportunity for me to understand, mm-hmm. how different people work, mm-hmm. different cultures.
Okay. You
know, when you have someone who, and for someone like me, an Indian who has studied in US, worked in India and US, and then you work in Middle East, you work in North America, mm-hmm. you start appreciating how the people in each of these countries are similar and how they're different.
Okay, very interesting.
How do you find leadership in different contexts? Mm. So that was an amazing journey.
Wonderful. So Suresh, you know, you have now worked across multiple continents, multiple organizations. What are some of the core values you believe in?
Yeah, so for many years, I didn't really know this word value. Mm-hmm. I have to be, you know, really honest with you. Mm-hmm. No, you start working, you are a professional. Mm-hmm. Profitability, the revenue size, number of people, organization, that's what you... what you're thinking, right. That's what drives you. I think slowly you start realizing that it has to be more than just business. And our values and our value system is so ingrained, because whatever you do, whatever you think, always comes with that as a reference.
Okay.
And it defines you in a way where you will be surprised many a times why you are doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Right? And I guess it was a slow journey, mm-hmm. where I started identifying what my values are, mm-hmm. And I also realize another very interesting thing, and I don't know, you know, if maybe I should ask you. The core values are very much there. They don't change. But I have also noticed that some of the values, they become more strong and some of them recess a bit.
Correct.
It has happened to me. So, for example, one of my core values is integrity. You know, walk the talk.
Absolutely.
Do what you say. Be authentic. And it hasn't changed. It has stayed there with me.
Right.
But something that has evolved is, just to give a comparison, is my value of being able to help. And it could be helping my my clients. It could be helping my candidates because I'm in search. And that piece where it is not so much about me, but it is a combination of me and someone else.
Right.
That only started taking shape, I think, 10, 15 years back.
Okay.
So so I think that's a bit what I understand about value. The other value for me is is purpose.
Okay.
What am I doing and why am I doing it? What is it serving? Or am I just doing it because it makes me happy?
Very interesting. So let's now move to the last segment of our conversation, which are some questions for you personally.
Sure.
My first question, you know, as you look back at life and as you look at all the things that you will be doing in future, what does success mean to Suresh?
I have thought about this. You know, when you cross 50, you start thinking, you know, what is it worth? And I guess there are a couple of things. First is, what value am I adding to my stakeholders? And the stakeholders are my clients. Stakeholders are my family, my hunt partners, the firm that I'm with, you know, my small world. So that is the first one. I should get measured by the value that I have been able to add. The second measure for success would be, how many people have I been able to touch by way of either their career, coaching, development, or it's the same with the clients as well. You know, how many have I been able to help? And if I have to add one more, it would be, what have I been able to create and leave behind? It could be anything. I'm not talking about, you know, creating, you know, being a rocket scientist. Anything. It could be just a small measure.
Fair enough. And therefore, a follow-up question for that would be that, who or what inspires you?
So I think what I get inspired by, the first segment is kids. And the reason is that I have noticed this. Kids are completely, you know, they are free. The freedom of their expression and their thought is immense. They can dream anything, they can think anything. They don't get straitjacketed. They don't have any fears. So that's a big inspiration for me. And the second inspiration are entrepreneurs.
Okay.
I work with quite a few of them. They are my clients. And I am amazed, you know, how they think, how they lead. Sometimes you wonder what keeps them going.
Very interesting. So my next question to you is really on failure. And I have often said this, that South Asians don't teach children it's okay to fail. We've always been taught, first aao, line ke aage khade ho, etc., etc. And yet, you know, I've often seen this, that, you know, in a city like Delhi, in three lanes at a traffic light, there'll be nine cars. Everyone wants to go first. When a car full of Indians lands, the person in the last row wants to be out first. You know, it's in our mindset. yet we fail all the time.
Yeah.
So my question to you, Suresh, is that what have been some of your learnings from some of your mistakes?
Enough. And I have failed enough times.
We all have.
I think I have had more failures than you would normally have in an average professional. Mm-hmm. Probably, you know, 5 times.
Okay.
I would be conservative if I say that number. Mm-hmm. Also because I have tried so many things.
Correct.
You know, because when you keep trying 9 out of 10, you will fail. Mm-hmm. So I come with a lot of experience here.
Sure.
So the first one is that failures are where you learn. Mm-hmm. Success doesn't get you as much learning. It does, mm-hmm. but not as much as a failure would. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. To try something.
Okay.
Don't do something because of fear that you are going to fail.
Mm.
I think that stops so many people from growing. Mm. So that's one lesson that I've learned.
Mm.
Second is, for an organization, having this culture or building this culture of tolerating failure is so important, and a lot of people don't get it. That how do you promote this culture of accepting failure?
Mm-hmm.
Because if every failure gets penalized, nobody's going to try.
Right.
And to have people try, go all out and fail, you need to have a lot of trust.
Right.
And I guess that's an area which, I guess, as you said, Indian families are not doing well. I think Indian businesses are also not doing enough.
Very true. Very true.
And the third is, you know, if you look at our goal sheets, look at our KRAs and the annual appraisals, it's always a negotiation.
Correct.
That I will do this quota, manager says, no, you will do this quota, we come to somewhere in middle.
Right.
So it is, again, you know, it's very thought out. But instead of that, why not go for stretch, knowing very well that it is 9 out of 10, you're not going to make it, but I'm not going to penalize you. But that should not stop you from trying. So yeah. failures are great.
Correct.
They should be celebrated.
Correct. Well said. And so, Suresh, now my last question to you, and this is for the thousands of people who will watch this and hear you with and all your amazing words of wisdom. What would your advice be to a young manager who is starting off on her or his life career in the corporate world?
So the first one would be, don't listen to people like me.
Okay.
we somehow believe that, you know, we have got the experience now to talk to others,
right?
Which is not the case.
Mm.
But still, I know, as I said, we believe. So I'm going to just play the part.
Mm.
Is that find mentors early in your life, people who you can connect with.
Mm-hmm.
And who have an interest in you.
Right.
And be in touch with them.
Mm.
Seek their advice. They will be able to bring their experience to the fore and give you, you know, if you have a question, they'll probably try and answer that for you. That would be one piece, because I learned it late. So I probably am giving the advice which I missed, and then I realized I should have done.
Wonderful.
The second would be what I was saying earlier. Don't fear failure.
Okay.
Mm. So go for whatever it is worth.
Mm.
Don't hesitate that, what if I fail?
Mm.
Don't do that. That would be my second piece of advice. Third is look for opportunities which give you a place to learn.
Mm.
I see people, and now more so because I'm involved in the careers of individuals.
Mm.
And I look at how the journey has been, and I also see how people have grown.
Mm.
And I have now seen a direct correlation where people have opted for roles, responsibilities, which they may not know, they were not ready for, they were not prepared, and they went into the deep end.
Mm.
And had to learn. They had to stretch.
Okay.
those are the people who do well. They do better.
Very nice.
That's a third piece of advice.
Very nice.
And the fourth would be read. I have noticed not everybody reads. I mean, you read the newspaper, which is good, but there's enough to read outside of the newspapers. There are books. And I believe every book that gets published, it has so much to offer because the author has tried to condense his or her life's experiences, learnings, thoughts into this 300-page manual. And for a couple of $100, we can buy that book and read it. And there's so much of learning there.
Amazing. Amazing. Suresh, thank you very much. It has been such a pleasure speaking to you. I loved your comments about failure, you know. Failure should be celebrated. You know, your advice to young people, don't fear failure. I mean, very, very wise words. Thank you very, very much again. And it's been such a pleasure speaking to you.
I hope it was in line with what you expected. I was just, you know, ranting and you gave me the platform. I couldn't hold myself.
Thank you.
I really appreciate the time and the opportunity, Ashutosh.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.